comes asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. You can join us in the chat room there if you Google on the NSA database, Vinny Eastwood chat room. Apparently, we come quite to the top of the list because they just hate us that much. Today, we have two very special guests joining us live via webcam for those of you viewing on YouTube in the delayed broadcast. And we have John Walls and a friend of his. So, John, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks, Vinny. Yeah, welcome.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do. And, of course, introduce your good friend here.
Yeah, right. My really good mate and the man who helped open me up is named Terry Keller. I'll let him introduce himself. I'm just a normal person who's had extraordinary things happen to him throughout his life. I first noticed it at 3 when I used to get the bugs that used to come to my window and told my parents, and they just told me that I was imagining it. And my mother died when I was about 7, and I was put in a home for a while. But, you know, it was all normal. It was pretty much normal upbringing, apart from the couple of years in the home before we went and stayed with relatives. And then there's all this missing time. I've worked most of my life up until a couple of years ago when I had a medical misadventure that damaged my spinal cord. But apart from that, I've worked mostly in the medical sector most of my life. I've got a degree in mortuary science. I'm an embalmer. / funeral director. So, you know, I'm very comfortable around death and the other side. So, and at the moment,
how experienced are you? You said you're doing it most of your life as a what would you say, a coroner?
No. What happens is in New Zealand, the coroner is actually a solicitor. I worked with the pathologist. I was the man who done all the gross anatomy, which is like all the cutting. I was allowed to diagnose to a certain extent, but I wasn't allowed to sign off. That's the difference between me and the doctor. He had to come in and sign off. Quite often he'd only be there 10, 15 minutes and double-check my work and disappear, unless it was a case of interest, as in, say, well, we can name names, like the Beverly Beaumont case. if you remember from a few years back out, Reparar. That was, at the time, was very controversial, where we had a room full of very high up pathologists and forensics and a little bit like CSI, but without all the bullshit. Yeah.
Okay. And what about your guest here?
Right. Now, my guest is Terry. I'll let him introduce himself. He'll do that better than I could. So here he goes.
Yeah. Well, hi, Vinny. My name's Terry Keeler. I'm a professional engineer. Worked in the IT field for about 40 years. One of the senior roles I did was IT manager for Fisher & Paykel for a number of years, and have been a consultant in IT, and I still train and teach in that field. About 20 years ago, I started getting an interest in hypnotherapy and then did training and did a diploma in clinical hypnotherapy. And I've been doing that sort of part-time for the last 16 years. So my involvement with John really came out of a meeting. I'm at a spiritual development group in Tauranga, and he came up to me and said, "I see you're a hypnotherapist, and have you ever had any experience dealing with people with missing time?" And so I actually had, done quite a bit of research and on UFO phenomena and contactee and abduction phenomena. So I thought, well, okay, sure, John, I'd be interested. Come along and see me, and we'll see what happens. And John, I asked him what he was really wanting to find out, and he said, well, there's been episodes of missing time in my life. And I was told by quite a well-known medium in the Tauranga area that I actually had an alien guide called Armistice. So I worked with people and conducted spiritual development groups and worked with people connecting with guides and that sort of thing. So I was pretty familiar with that kind of phenomena. And a long way away from my sort of linear electrical engineering professional training, of course. But so we had a session with John, and in the very first session, his voice modulation really dropped down quite low. So I realized there was some, certainly a different personality that was starting to manifest or come through. So I said, so who am I speaking to? And the voice that came through said, this is Armistice, which is the name given him by this well-known medium. And so commenced a dialogue while John was in that trance state. I wrote the transcriptions down on the first three sessions, 1 hour sessions I had with John. And about that time, the 2020 guys, TV guys, got hold of the Auckland UFO group. They were going to do a session on people that had contactee or, abduction experience or whatever. They weren't having a lot of joy. And anyway, it came through to the Tauranga group, and they said, oh, well, maybe, I've already introduced my work with John to the Tauranga group. And they said, well, maybe you'd be interested in being involved in that. So I sent them the transcripts, and they then rang me back that day and said, yeah, we want to talk to, meet and have a session with John. So I said to my wife when she came home, I said, hey, we got some visitors coming down on Monday. This was on a Thursday. And she looked at me very suspiciously and said, who? And I said, oh, it's 2020. And she says, what? What do they want? I said, oh, they want to have a session with John. And she says, look, it's enough. It's enough. We have these crazy people come into our house without the rest of New Zealand knowing all about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I was a little bit nervous about what 2020 would make of it. Yeah. But as it turned out, they were actually quite sympathetic. And like any of these subjects, if you want to crucify people and you've got control of the video, editing, you can do it. So, but actually, it was pretty sympathetic. They were basically in the session. I regressed him to that time when he was three, and he went through this whole abduction scenario. And that's now sort of floating around on YouTube, that session.
91.
Yeah, I think it's about 96,000 people have viewed that. So, and that gives you an idea. What I wanted to do was, unless there was the emotional impact, people will say, well, you're just making it up, or nothing's really happening. So basically the guys at 2020 said, well, either John deserves an Academy Award for his performance, or something really did happen. So, and anyway, we had nine sessions overall with John, and I created a book of those transcriptions called Conversations with Armistice.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the book, and that's available for a little plug there. That's available on Amazon, either as an ebook or as a hard copy, and it really just goes through the whole dialogue in this conversation with this guy, covering really a huge variance of things in terms of back engineering projects being done by the U.S. government or the pseudo world government or whatever you might want to call it.
That's what we're going to talk about today. Yeah,
and also just the transformation of man, what's happening, what different ET groups are involved with man. And what their agendas are. So, and really just an interactive dialogue between, and at times John contributes his own part because, basically he's been working in sort of concert with his ET guides and everything. And they download information to him and direct him to, just as any guide would, direct him to sort of maybe things that might be of interest. And so he's developed his own understanding and awareness. So so I think that's very hard to get a kind of a balanced perspective on this whole subject. And
I don't know about that. I think if the subject's really extreme, it's key to balance, because that's my philosophy. Balance is swinging to either extreme and still being able to come back to the center again.
Exactly. Yeah. And you still got to put your pants on one leg at a time and go to work and put food on the table, and you got family and everybody else that really doesn't want to know about a lot of this stuff anyway. So, but so that's where we are. And John's
the name Armistice. When does that right? World War One. We all put our guns down. Armistice Day, the 11th of the 11th of the 11th at 11 a.m.
Or something. The same spelling. It's our armistice. Armesis.
So it's like a sister who doesn't want to go to war with you. Armistice. All right.
Yeah.
But there is a correlation with 11/11. 11/11 was the day that I was saved. 11/11/1980 was probably the day that I could say that I woke up. I had a really bad bike accident on a motorbike and died, and they brought me back. And Armistice was the one who brought me back from the other side and made me come back into my body.
No, yeah. So you're talking about an alien abduction, and yet it seems to be we're talking about some kind of a spirit or ghost to a degree.
Well, basically, we tend to think of things as three dimensional because that's what we can normally manifest and see. And so the problem we have with any of these things is if you're talking about guides or spiritual entities, they're not working at a third dimensional level. So, and if you look at the ET phenomena, we certainly have, ample evidence of their interdimensional capability. We see them in three dimension, we track them on radar, and then suddenly they just disappear. They're moving really out of our normal 3D phase of that we live in. So when you say at one level they're at spirit, another level they're, you know, we're at manifesting in the three.
If I may, what's it called? That there's a phenomenon that happens to abductees where they'll be paralyzed and in their sleep kind of thing.
They wake up
and they're paralyzed and there's a gray there or some kind of spiritual entity or something like that. And I read a very interesting passage in Uncensored magazine, I think about a year back, where they tell you about sleep paralysis survivors. And apparently, they'd been using the word Jesus. And when they said the word, the alien or demon or whatever just would shriek in pain and disappear. That's and it gave rise to speculation that aliens are perhaps part spirit or part demon or something of that nature, or maybe they're capable of transcending into that dimension and have thus been tainted by it or something of that nature. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a big field, eh? And I think you can have all sorts of there's certainly with John's experience in his earlier ET contacts and everything like that. He was definitely in that stage where, you know, he was, you know, transported, taken to craft from his home, from his bed and everything like that. And I think there was an issue there where he seemed, in the early experiences, there seemed to be one group that was actually working with him. And later on, it was Armistice's group that came along and kind of picked up the pieces. And
It wouldn't necessarily be anything spiritual or demonological. It could simply be telepathy or some kind of technology used for communication.
Yeah, I mean,
they communicate telepathic, yes. But what we've got to get right here to start with is my first contacts were with Greys.
Mm.
All right, now my contacts now are with what I call celestials, higher vibrational beings.
Okay, but we'll talk about that more after the break, actually, because I think this is starting to get really interesting and we're going to get into a lot of very, very, shall we say, new territory for a lot of the listeners. and it looks like I might be getting into some new territory myself. I don't know what I'm getting into, but we'll find out sooner or later. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Show the lightest side of genocide, because in a world so full of madness and chaos, if you lose your sense of humor, you go friggin' nuts. Very special guest, John Wilson. I'm sorry, I keep forgetting your name, bro.
Yeah, Terry. Yeah, Terry Keeler.
All right, I'm gonna just make sure to write that down. Terry Keeler. All right, cool. Terry Keeler, like a blue healer. I'm sure you can catch it out. Right, getting back into it. You said that your original contact was with the Greys, and then you started being contacted telepathically or physically by the celestial higher beings. And also, this is another thing I wanted to gain clarity on. I don't know if you're in a position to give me that, but do you know about, you know, a microorganism is, right?
Yes.
One tiny little organism, heaps of them make up one organism, and the one big organism is a macroorganism. So I was wondering, are any of these celestial entities that you're talking about macroorganisms, like actually really large entities that, that comprise parts of celestial bodies, or are they their own?
Collective consciousness. Yeah. The first person in modern history to contact the macros was Sir John Dee, and he was the vizier or advisor to Queen Elizabeth I.
He was also the very first 007.
007, yeah. Yeah. And he was, they were right into, and the picture that he drew was the picture of a grey, and there are special types of greys. And his type was, I've got it written down. I'll find it right there. His type. Geez, I may not have written it down. The E-band. Yeah, the E-band. So we'll keep going. Yeah, his type of grey was the E-band, and they're from Series B, apparently.
Could you give us a quick physical description of the E-bands?
The E-bands have more the Whitley Strieber. Have you seen the book Communion? The picture on the front of the book Communion, they're the E-bands.
Yeah, large black eyes.
No ears, but a little bit bigger mouth than what I call the PLFs, the program life forms. These are actual entities. Where a lot of the greys we see are actually genetically made biological robots, and we're making them in Dulce off China. Apparently we're amassing quite a little army from my research and triangulation, which I do. They can be programmed with anybody's consciousness or any sentient beings' consciousness.
So an android, basically.
Basically, yeah.
Programmable android. Hold on a second. You say they're building an army of programmable androids?
Well, yeah, basically. They're not androids. They're actual biological life forms that you can slip your consciousness into. They've been able to do this since the 70s. Barry King is good for it. Anything on Dulce? Bob Dean's best mate, he just died. I can't think of his name at the moment, and I know it really well. He goes right into it as well, but you can get through Bob Dean, you know. Just Google it. But when I do my research and I get, sort of psychically type put sideways to things, I always triangulate. I always make sure I can get it confirmed from more than three sources, and I'm talking like high up people, like used to be Project Camelot, but they've fallen out by the wayside. Probably too much Scientology. And, you know, there's Bob Dean, there's Silas, there's a whole heap of others, you know, like that are credible. You know, you know, when they start saying things, your ears start to prick up, because quite often they'll say something that they've never said before, but I already knew it. And this is one of the things that happens to me. I'll go and research something. I've never researched it before, but I knew about it. Like when the Pommy fellow that hacked into the mainframe at NASA.
There was some dude who hacked into NASA, and he found a whole bunch of moon photos and Mars photos and stuff like that, like Mars with the blue sky and trees and rivers. Wasn't that it?
Gary McKinnon. And he found out that we've actually got two really big cruisers out there. One's called USSS, United States Space Agency Service or something. And one's called the USSS Curtis LeMay. Curtis LeMay was very deeply involved in UFO research in Area 51. and the USSS Roscoe Hillenkoetter. And he was a general and Curtis LeMay was an admiral. And he picked up communication of a transfer from one officer from the USSS Curtis LeMay to the USSS Roscoe Hillenkoetter. And this is one of the things that the Americans don't like. And if this sort of stuff gets out that we've got faster than light ships that are 2 kilometres across, hence the Phoenix Lights, why do you think the Phoenix Lights weren't buzzed by the local Air Force, which was just down the road? And then 2 hours later, they put up flares to make it in a V shape.
Coincidentally, I just saw a movie about there was a bunch of kids that were on a trip across America in a camper van, and it's a true story. And they had a bit of an auto wreck. And they got harassed by aliens from the Phoenix Lights, allegedly. And only one man was recovered. And he, just like you, John, revealed under hypnosis what had happened to them, that they'd been attacked while they were inside the camper van, that they'd been taken one by one and hunted down, and that when they'd been in the ship, they had been covered in this this sort of biological matting, sort of like a sticky sort of quilt or something like that, that held them in place. And he managed to break free of it and crawl to the other room, where he saw these two greys over this girl who was pregnant, and they had this a dispenser come down out of the ceiling, and a white jelly like liquid poured into their hands, and they rubbed it on her belly, and it turned her skin translucent, and they reached inside her stomach and pulled the fetus out and took it away, and then killed her, and I was just thinking, man, there is a lot of really, really messed up stuff going on here. What is wrong with these creatures? Why do they want to do this to us?
Why do you think the elite are so scumbaggery? Why do you think they're doing what they're doing? They're doing what they're doing because they're being told to do it. You know, David Icke is right to a certain degree. I really like David Icke. But his idea is pretty much right. The elite are being run by a higher force, and it is not human.
We're not talking about a higher force as in a 3D kind of. There's one kind of alien creature with a crown sort of thing running the show. We're talking about. Is there a war between celestial macros?
Yes.
A war over what?
All you need to do is get third generation goggles, night vision goggles, and look, or monocular, and look up at the sky. There's a reason why they're illegal in just about every country in the world. You can't get them into Australia, you can't get them into New Zealand, you can get them in America, but you've got to have, last I heard, you've got to have a permit. Richard Hoagland got some and took some shots. East City Ranch, they've got some, and some of the stuff that they're putting on YouTube is amazing.
Are we talking about the sort of large cells that you see in the sky? They look almost like a human cell, except they're miles across and look like spacecraft kind of thing, and they're all through the sky. They're everywhere.
Yeah. That's the orbs as well. Yeah, I've got lots of good photos of orbs are just around my house after meditating, you know. You go out and take photos and there's nothing. You have a 20-minute meditate and go out and take more photos, they're everywhere, it's energy, it's consciousness. It's David.
I'm starting David to see a lot of connections here. Sorry, go ahead. Finish. Yeah. Finish your
David,
point.
David Wilcock coined the phrase the source field. All right. And he's pretty right with that, I personally think.
What we're starting to realize now, as science and basically history comes more to light as the days go by, is that there's nothing kind of separate anymore. Okay, 2D is connected to 3D, connected to the 4D, connected to the hip bone. You know what I'm saying? It's all connected in some way, shape, or form. So if you have a consciousness experience, it doesn't just affect your consciousness. It affects other things around you, even if you're not capable of either technologically capturing them or intellectually perceiving them. Something happens every time we do almost anything, right? Yes. Whether that be psychic experiences or whether that be just coming up with a new song or something like that. We have managed as a species, I think, recently develop the capacity to actually see things before they happen and to pull down inspiration sort of thing from up above where we had no idea and we don't know where it's coming from. I don't know exactly where this train of thought is going. But
well, that's exactly where we're heading. That's where the human race is heading. Think less, do more.
I mean, it started with Einstein saying E equals MC squared. I mean, we realized from that point on that we are nothing but energy. So once you understand that construct, you realize that what is consciousness? It's just another form of energy. So really, once you start working in the area of consciousness, then you will interact with all forms of energy, whether they're at what we call three-dimensional or fourth-dimensional or whatever. So mankind's coming to a realization that, you know, I, as a hypnotherapist, I work with people all the time that when they want to resolve issues, they find that they might tie in with a past life. They can also project into future lives and see what the, you know, where they're likely to be hitting with their current sort of state of consciousness. And if they change the way they feel about themselves and interrelate to the world, then they also change their future. So, and almost everybody has had an experience where we've dreamt about something 2 or 3 days before it manifested. And you may not remember the dream. You're actually doing something. You think, God, I dreamt about this 2 or 3 days before. And if I ask that question to most people, at least 50% of people will say, yeah, I've had that experience. I've actually dreamt about the future. And you think, well, what's happening? Am I actually seeing into the future? Or am I like an actor that rehearses a role and I've chosen my future and I'm just rehearsing the role so this time I get it right. Last time I might have screwed up, you know. Mm. So
I've the next like stage... I've kind of like a fuzzy script version of that. Because, like, I remember this one time I was going down to a guy named, Shane Wenzel's place. A bit of a psychopath kind of thing, and I didn't know that at the time. I thought he was exposing scumbaggery. Apparently not. Anyway, I decided to go and expose him. Yeah. but a day or two before I'd actually went down to do that, I was just going out to do something. I forget what, but I got this feeling that I had to get in and out of my car really, really quickly. Like you know that those scenes in movies where the lady is walking at night and she's walking to her car and she fumbles her keys and she drops them and that kind of thing. Something was telling me that, Vinny, you got to figure out how to get that door open and the key real instantly and get that door open and get in and close it right behind you as quickly as possible. And not a couple of days later, I did have to get into that car incredibly quickly because I was being chased by a freaking psychopath. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Vinny Eastwood Show. Booking it down. In the Schwarzenegger sense of the word. All around the world. In the Fourth Reich sense of the word. Very special guest today, John Walls, and I wrote it down, should be here somewhere, Terry Tequila. Damn, I'm good. Hey, Terry. I would forget. All right, and also I just want to let people know, I've had a lot of YouTube comments saying, oh, you YouTube truth of celebrities are all the same and blah, 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 blah. Dude, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm completely unprofessional, and I'm just doing it, okay?
Good.
I'm not some kind of celebrity or great prophet or anything. I'm just a dude trying to expose a little bit of scumbaggery, okay? What's wrong with that?
We're all normal people. We're all on our own path, and your path's truth, my path's truth, and they've connected. That's how it works. And if somebody can't handle it, maybe they're not ready for the message.
Yeah, you know? I have doubts that I'll ever find out what the truth, like the truth, it actually is. And so I just kind of walk around my truth being that everything is wrong, right? Everything I know to be true is in fact wrong. That's my only truth.
Yeah, until you can prove it yourself.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know, we probably create our truths by our beliefs. So if you can get enough people believing what you believe, that's what you'll create.
And you don't
know. I don't know, man. What I want to do then is start... start making everybody believe that I'm both bulletproof and fireproof. So that way, when they send me to the FEMA camp, they won't be able to shoot me or incinerate me.
I heard a rumor that we have two FEMA camps here in New Zealand already.
Yeah,
one in the South Island and one in the Desert Road.
Desert Road? I thought there was a video that came out not too long ago from Dumbbell, I think. Dumbbell 216, I think, is his YouTube channel. And there was a facility just outside of Wellington, right across the road from a military base, the former bus depot. Large warehouses, huge fences with the barbed wire pointed inwards and stuff like that, and it's right across the road from also the police dog training academy. All right, so you've got a giant facility with incurved barbed wire outside of Wellington, next to a military base, which is also next to a police dog training base. You know, does anybody else feel like getting off a train in here and feeling German shepherds barking at you while military men bark orders and separate you from your children and Sophie's Choice style, you know?
I feel 1936 reoccurring, yeah, to a certain degree.
Yeah. I feel it coming back.
It is. It cycles. It all comes around in cycles, but this is their last cycle, and this is what the message is. You know, like, I'm no celebrity. I'm just a normal person who's had extraordinary things happen to him and been open-minded to it. I threw it away for years and years and years. And then when Terry came along, he made, through our sessions, it made me realize that the spirituality path, the religious path, it doesn't matter what path you take, you will get there, right? We're all designed to get there.
All roads lead to Rome.
Yes. But spirituality, religion, even politics, to this day, especially in America, does not work without the alien presence. And it even goes into the politics and the elites. And, you know, Rockefeller just the other day bet so many billion dollars or whatever it was that the euro was going to fall. So if I was a betting man and I played the stock market, I know where I'd be putting my money for the euro to fall. You know? And this is the great thing about, like, the new media. You know, Facebook, even though it's CIA, I love that because you can taunt them, you can play with them, you know, and you might push a little bit too far and they deactivate your account like they've done me once. But you just start up again, you know. They're not worried about small fries like me and you and, you know. But you're getting to the point where you'll be on their radar. We're all on the radar, but you'll be getting to the point where you're on their radar and their agenda. But this agenda will fail because why at the moment we are seeing so many UFOs on TV. TV is even admitting it. NASA's admitted that there's structures on the moon. A whole heap of other
movies
things out every day.
Hollywood, man. I have seen not less than 24 alien invasion slash end of the yes. world movies in the last maybe 2 years alone come out of Hollywood.
Exactly. And the last card will be the aliens, Wernher von Braun.
And for those who don't know, Wernher von Braun was the creator of the V2 rocket during World War II. After World War II ended, the United States employed Operation Paperclip, which was basically a transfer of skilled workers program, more or less, I guess you could call it, where they took the top Nazi scientists in so many different fields. And what has been obvious to me, at least for a while now, is that the United States government is indeed a fascist government. And if you do not believe that it is a fascist Nazi government, have a look at what is on either side of the Speaker of the House, okay? It is a two-headed axe wrapped in reeds, which is known as a fasci. You know the old saying that a stick by itself will snap? Many sticks together are unbreakable. That is the whole concept behind fascism. And there are two of those fasci on either side of the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate. Okay? So if you don't believe it, explain it. Because I would love somebody to explain to me that the Rockefellers don't exist, that the Rothschilds don't exist, that the New World Order doesn't exist, that politicians are honest.
Agenda 21 doesn't exist. Yeah.
You know, it's a funny thing. You know, you have to look at the synchronicities of life. And when I was about 18, I had a friend in high school, and he started telling me about this. And he was the type of guy, he didn't want anybody else to know about this, but he trusted enough to tell this story about he had been living in Eastern Canada, and he was coming home from a party one night, and it was 10:30 at night, and he... you know, he said, the next thing I know, he said, I'm inside a ship and I'm looking around. And he said, and then after I see around there, I'm walking back along the road and I've lost an hour. See? So that was the first time I ever had exposure to that. And so anyway, he said, and then my family moved out to Western Canada a year later. And he said, I was in a petrol station sheltering from the rain, and the guy came up beside him and started talking about this incident. And he said, I got so freaked, I just took to my heels and ran. Now, I've lost touch with this guy, but that's, you know, what do you do with a story like that? Well, I just sort of put it at the back of my mind and think, well, he really believed it, you know, but I thought, well, that's a bit out of my ordinary experience. So I can't do much with that. And that's what happens is if you start focusing on these things, you'll find that there'll be certain synchronicities that'll happen in your life, and you'll be taken to certain information that you need to know at any one time. And it tells you that there's some bigger scheme here, you know?
Yeah, well, that's why I don't like making plans, because it robs you of the possibility of synchronicities you might encounter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess if I got any advice to anybody, is start paying attention to the synchronicities in life. Because, you know, and when the hairs on your back, you know, sort of go up, you know, listen, pay attention, because something's trying to sort of take you to a direction that's going to open up your awareness and your consciousness.
Yeah, and, my girlfriend doesn't like the hairs on my back. She told me I should get it waxed.
That's your early sensing system.
As long as you don't go Brazilian.
I'm not going to go Brazilian. I'm going to go to Uruguay.
That's all. Go with Julian. Yeah.
With King Julian.
Julian, the freedom fighter, gone to Ecuador.
Not there yet,
but they'll get, unless they pop him, which I think they might.
Unless, of course, he gets blown up by a Patsy's terrorist liquid bomb on an airliner on the way there.
Yeah. Or the underwear bomber who tries to light the bomb. But the only way for it to blow up is if it's got an electric charge put through it. Fire won't make it go. You know, it's fakery, all in your ass.
Yeah. You know, apparently, one of the female passengers on that underwear bomber flight slapped the underwear bomber because he said he had a bomb in his pants.
She just misinterpreted it, didn't she?
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
child. Way to warn people.
Hey, yeah. A friend of mine, he said, you know, the best way to make sure there's not a bomb on your plane is to carry one yourself, because the probability of having two bombs on one plane is very slight, you know.
Yeah. I mean, safety first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you know much about the bioresonance scanners? I got told about them before they put them in.
We've got about one minute before we go to break, if you want to fill us in quickly.
But very quickly, a bioresonance scan scans your own bioresonance frequency. Everybody's bioresonance frequency is different, like a fingerprint, right? Once they have, with this black technology that they've got, if they've got your bioresonance frequency, you can be their eyes and their ears without you even knowing it. They see what you see, they hear what you hear. That's least case scenario. Worst case scenario, you become the Batman shooter. Because they've got his bioresonance scan, they can make him think different, they can make him do what he wants. This stuff that they're doing is black, it's evil, but it will not last. There you go.
All right, and we'll be right back for another whole hour with John and Terry. And, well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're freaking out a little bit, join the club. Freaking out is a natural consequence of recognizing that everything you thought was once true is in fact a lie. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back. I said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on the American Freedom Radio Network on lovely radio stations. And I also wanted to give a quick plug as well and to advise the listeners, if you are listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com on the Listen Live streams there, you can also go to the affiliates page. There's a little button up the top of AmericanFreedomRadio.com there. We can click on the affiliates page, and it has a list of frequencies and radio stations that carry American Freedom Radio show. So if you're lucky enough to have one of those stations in your area, you can listen in that way. Other than that, live is always good, especially on the internet with those beautiful 128K crisp streams that you get from AmericanFreedomRadio.com's duty. Right, getting back to our guests, John Walls and Terry Keeley. Now, John, you asked me a question before about where I wanted to go with this, and I said that I was in an inappropriate position to ask appropriate questions because I've not had your experience, only you have. But something occurred to me during the break. I wanted to share your experience, not literally, of course, but figuratively. Now, we've talked about how you had this experience and how you've been under hypnosis and these realizations that you've had, but the physical abduction itself and the experience that was brought out in hypnosis, I'd like to hear about that.
Alrighty. Right. The first thing that happens is I can be sitting on the couch. I can be in bed, sitting up reading, laying down, half asleep. I've even gone for a walk, been told to go outside and go for a walk. Now, there's other people like Ricky G. He's had that same experience where he's been told to go for a walk. And then the next thing you know, you're walking towards the end of your driveway and it's 2.5 hours later. But the first thing you feel is like your molecules are being ripped apart without pain, all right? And then if I get teleported straight to the ship, I'm usually in a room that is very monotone, very grey, silvery, rough silver. then I get entranced, get what's called entranced. This is from my own memory without hypnosis. Then I black out. Quite often they show me, up until the age of 16, they showed me my dead mother that died when I was 7, right, to pacify me. Now we have a relationship, but there are certain things that there's things I remember, but certain things I'm not allowed to remember. I do remember now, like when I was 3 years old, being taken by the Greys, which was the worst, sticking things in me, communicating with me, saying that my DNA is going to be used for the salvation of humanity, among others, not just me. There's millions. I wasn't supposed to remember, but after the near-death experience I had, it opens a gateway, a chemical gateway in your brain, and that makes them not make you forget properly. So I started remembering things after my accident. And that's when I had the different type of abduction where it's friendly. And I remember talking to Armistice, and I remember the way he looks. And he is what's called, what he calls himself, we wouldn't be able to pronounce it. And they're actually from another dimension. they are watching over the Earth, as is about at least 10,000 other species at the moment, for the great, what they call it, they're calling it the great event. And this is us transforming into a lighter being. In other words, our molecules that vibrate are going to vibrate faster and move apart. So we're going to be less dense and we'll think less and do more. Like you want a cup of coffee, right, and you're sitting there and you can't go and get your coffee. You think of it, and then 2 minutes later your coffee turns up. Now, they've proved this at Montauk, right? The Montauk Chronicles, like it gets crapped down a lot, and it gets crapped down so much and debunked so much because it is so real, all right? This really did happen. Because in a past life, I was a Montauk kid that was killed in one of the experiments.
By the way, I have a joke to interject here. What do you call a language program that tries to teach people to speak with a Jamaican accent? The Montauk Project.
Oh, good talk, man. Yeah. Yeah. And
it's good to have a bit of humor at times.
It is. But apparently that's when I was felt my soul essence was first introduced to the Draco and Hydra reptilians, to coin Tolik, a man named Tolik. But the actual experience itself is horrific until you learn, and it takes them years to entrain you and teach you until you learn not to be scared of them and know they're not going to kill you. It's like I go out of body as well, and the first time I went out of body, I've been doing it on and off all my life, but the first time that I went out properly and looked at myself on the bed and thought I was dead, I jumped straight back in my body, and it happened again. And so I decided to research it, and I found the Munro Institute, and now I'm pretty good at it. But there are things we do there, but we don't need to go into that today. But it's similar doing an out-of-body experience to being abducted. Now, the correlation between abduction and sleep paralysis, all right? I've had both. I've had sleep paralysis where I was awake, I couldn't move, and I put it to half an out-of-body experience, right, which is the same sort of feeling as abduction. But the abduction feeling, it's like the difference is like drinking a low alcohol beer to drinking the same amount of vodka. but it's the same feeling. Do you understand? Let's try to put it into perspective.
Yeah. It's smashed.
But now, especially, I've looked more into the spiritual side of it, thanks to Terry, and joined a lot more dots. Because once we started doing this, there were, I had about 20 questions. Now I've got about 3 million, you know, and I've answered about 1,000 of them. So I'm just a normal person researching, trying to find my way and what I'm supposed to do. And they've told me that when the time is right, I will have the what they call the download. I'm going to be one of the first. And they were saying that the world has already been infected, you know, with the, and it's all through the flu jab, because that's the catalyst with the aluminium, barium, cesium in the chemtrails, mixed with a trigger, which may be another flu, or they may just spray it in the air and people are just going to start getting sick and dying. And Armistice came out with this before it was even popular on YouTube. We found this on YouTube around a year afterwards, maybe.
Yeah.
The connection. Yeah. But I found it on YouTube.
Speaking of connections and strange coincidences, I was thinking about the Georgia Guidestones. You know how they say reduce the population to 500 million, which equates to about 95% of the current population. And I remember Catherine Smith from Natural Medicine, New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, telling me that the unvaccinated public in New Zealand, at least, are a exact staunch 5%. And I don't know if there's any correlation there or kind of thing that the 95% of people who are vaccinated are going down and the rest of us are going to still be around. I don't know.
Well, I bet you the Queen or any of her relations are vaccinated and they all eat natural organically grown foods and they drink milk straight out of the cow's tit. Eh? Mm. But nobody else is allowed to.
Yep. They also have a special employee who checks their poo. He's called the groomer of the soul.
Yeah, the groomer. Yeah, we know that. Yeah. And I've heard rumours that Prince Charles still gets his ass wiped. I don't know how true that is, but if you're rich enough, well, employ someone to wipe your ass.
I guess we all get to that stage.
Hey, wait, hold on a second. Is that we'll get there, to that stage eventually? But when you're incredibly wealthy, on the other hand, and you don't have to do things yourself, the impetus to do them by yourself and to be independent sort of begins to wane somewhat as time goes on, and you lose your lust for life, and you stop seeing the point because you are no longer challenged. Life is no longer that hard, and you're finding ever more ways to be lazier and more excited.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and that's where the occult comes into it with the royals. And, you know, they do not live in our reality. That, you know, and the things that they've done in the name of, well, from government to corporation, I think it's all had an ET influence right the way through. But if stories I'm hearing are correct, the two main ET groups, the Hydra Reptilians and the Eban Greys, have left the planet.
Do you see a connection between psychopathy, okay, the inability to have compassion and things of that nature, with these off-world entities?
Oh yeah, they have no empathy whatsoever. The lower caste. See, these are the entities, the gods of old, right? That especially like Jehovah. Jehovah killed his father. I forgot his father's name. And then, because his father ruled the earth for about 10,000 years, But he killed his father and then took over with an iron fist. And to even breathe his name back in the day until he died at 9,000 BC, even to breathe Jehovah, the God of War and Pestilence's name, was punishable by death. Now, this is the God that Christianity prays to. Now, any God that can kill the firstborn of any race or kill for sacrificial reasons is not a God. He's a demiurge. The God is the vibration from the center of the universe that gives life. It gives. It doesn't take anything. It doesn't want anything from you. It just gives and gives and gives. Any God that takes or is vengeful is not a God. That's my personal opinion. That's my rant for the day.
Yeah.
Well, see, some cases, that's an interesting perspective. I'm sorry, Terry, go ahead.
No, I see. You got to sort of uncouple that Old Testament, belief structure from the New Testament. There's no doubt something happened 2,000 years ago where a new pattern was set for mankind to follow, and it was based around compassion and understanding. And really, that's, we haven't made a hell of a lot of progress in 2,000 years, but we have made some progress. And I think that's really the next step, is that when we develop Christ consciousness individually, then we will have made the transition. And while you've got, political entities like the Catholic Church, subverting that whole message for their own control purposes, basically the underlying message and truth of that is still there, and it will, in the end, that's going to win out. So I think you talked about demonic forces and spiritual forces, and we talk about ETs and everything. They're all manifestations of energy. They're all manifestations of consciousness. And really, it always comes back to the individual. I think Armas has stated, that the power of the individual to manifest and make change is enormous. If we really knew how powerful we were, there's nothing like an idea whose time has come. So if we all have the same idea of compassion and awareness and service to others, then we're going to transform the world overnight.
Well, the scumbaggery of being exposed, it's showing all the world around. Everyone is uprising, even though quite often it's the alphabet agencies who start it. But it is grassroots, and this has never happened in the history of humankind, where unrelated things all rise up at once against their own, their own oppressors.
I call it the tactic of the cactus. A cactus covers itself in spines from every direction. So whenever it gets touched or attacked or anything, whatever it is, it's a little prick, and it doesn't matter where you touch it. And that's the human race. Or more to the point, that's my analogy for the truth community, is it doesn't matter what issue you're talking about, whether it be spiritual aliens or Agenda 21 or fluoride or whatever. For every area, for every conspiracy, there is a person, a very powerful individual, who will not compromise, who knows exactly what's going on, exactly what they're talking about, and is struggling hand over fist to try and wake everybody else up around them. And as a result, it turns humanity into an unassailable psychological fortress to a degree, where even though we are currently trapped by mind control techniques or by our economic circumstance, the awakening overrides them because it's more powerful than the lack of, as you called, Christ consciousness that dominates the world today. John Walls and Terry Keeley are my guests, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. You can join us in the chat room there, so if you just Google Vinny Eastwood chat, you should come up with it. And also, after the show, ladies and gentlemen, we have a Skype call going with the listeners, so if you want to join us in the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, we'll give you my Skype name, we'll add you, and have a conversation after the show. Back in a few minutes.
People, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. Broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. Man. New Zealand Tyranny is quite pretty, you know, because the backdrop's nicer. We were going on to, we seem to be having a bit of feedback from your guys' computer there. If you manage to just turn your speakers down a little, it should solve that problem. We were talking about before about how entities that take are not gods, kind of thing, and entities that give are. And you talked about the Christ consciousness and how it's about giving. So in essence, if you become a person who is all about giving, then you're adopting the Christ consciousness and you're on your way to godhood to a degree, or at the very least you're emulating it. Maybe you'll never achieve it. And I was thinking about this. The reason why, at least my philosophy, is just in my experience as a talk radio show host, activist, and what have you, I went out years and years ago trying to do some good when nobody else was really making videos or doing any radio here in New Zealand to this extent. And I kept trying to figure out what was going on just by going to the people who are on the megaphones at the protests or speaking to the crowds and that kind of thing, the educated ones, as opposed to the mainstream media, which just find the most rangy-looking, crazed, preferably joint-holding, dreadlocked individual they can find to ask them questions. And I found something interesting. The more time I spent working really, really hard, like spending my time to give other people coverage, the more support I started to get. I think that this is why real gods don't take, because if you want to get something, don't take it, give it, and you get it back tenfold. Gods understand that. Demons do not.
True. True. And that's why the church is in the state it's in today, because they're all about taking, 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 taking. Governments now are all about taking, taking. I read a
document. They take by force. They take by force. Whereas the other element, you can ask for anything you want, and it's only once you initiate force that you're doing something wrong, something immoral, right?
That's right.
The interesting thing, Benny, is that the people that do this really believe they're doing it for the best of reasons. Even Hitler thought he was doing what he was doing for the best reasons. You know, it just that they're not really quite in touch with reality. And so, you know, the man you got plastered on your poster behind you thinks what he's doing is for the best reasons, the best intent. So, you know, and that it's very hard for, you know, people of goodwill to say, oh, geez, the Queen's a lovely person and she talks to us and she's there in the tough times. And so how can she behind some sort of agenda that you know, is very self-centered and destructive or constrictive or, you know, whatever. And the truth of the matter is, if you, you know, she isn't aware of any other agenda. She's just doing what she thinks is the right thing to do in her position. And so the problem is that people are self-deluded in many respects. They're deluded by the information that they get. They're deluded by their view of the world. So it's really about looking at what the effect is. You know, it's by our fruits will you know what you do, you know. So if your result on people is to help empower them and develop their self-awareness and their strength, then you know you're doing something good. If what you're doing is actually, and that's the danger of what we're talking about here, is if what you achieve is to frighten the hell out of a lot of people, and they go run out and buy the biggest, you know, automatic weapon they can and start storing fruit in the basement, you know, or stacking their basement full of gold coins and silver coins, you know, if that's what you achieve, then it's all you're doing is feeding the fire, you know. You're part of the problem, not part of the solution. So it's really about where it gets people to. So, I mean, all this is about understanding.
Well, we spoke before about how it doesn't matter what part of your awakening brings you into this, whether you have been abducted by aliens or abused by the Catholic Church, or whether you worked in Parliament and witnessed the scumbaggery ensue. All roads lead to Rome. So if all roads lead to Rome in terms of the realization and the palpability of a conspiracy point of view, does that mean that all roads also lead to Rome in terms of preparation? Okay, so for example, you spiritually prepare yourself as well as practice down on the firing range, as well as grow your own food, as well as have a few coins and stuff here. It can't hurt, can it?
No, it's not doing any harm to any particular individual, except somebody's got to mine that gold. And if we all had, you know, four bars of gold bullion in our basement, that just means that you're raping the earth for an awful lot of gold that really doesn't, you know, you can't eat it.
They've been doing experiments but yeah, seriously, that there's been a lot of experiments been going on with gold. You know how they have colloidal silver, same sort of thing. And another guy I heard was using radio frequency radiation sort of thing for cancer therapy. And what he was doing is he was injecting that colloidal gold into the cancer growths in his patients, and then bombarding that particular area with radio waves. And the gold picks up the heat and it burns out the cancer.
And leaves the rest alone, yeah.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. There are many cures out there, and I don't do marijuana, but I'm pro-choice, and I believe with everything that I've read, and I've researched it on and off now for about 2 years, that hemp oil is one of the world's greatest medicines and does cure cancer. I'm not supposed to say that on radio, but I believe it does. That's my personal belief.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Well, the thing is, that's not a belief anymore. That is now a fact.
Oh, no.
Bob yeah. Melamede has been lecturing at major U.S. universities about cannabinoids and endocannabinoids, cannabinoids from within. It's a very revolutionary prospect, and they've proven that the cannabinoid molecule is very, very similar to a molecule that we produce in our body that regulates everything. Okay, so and that's why hemp oil. Or at least this is my contention, works on virtually anything, because your whole body is predicated on these endocannabinoids. And what you're doing is when you add excess cannabinoids into your system, they simply over-regulate it. So they find anything that's wrong, anything. It doesn't matter if you're depressed or you've got back pain or you've got cancer or lesions on your skull or you know, or anything. It matters not. It fixes it. And I thought, we were talking about the extraterrestrial thing. There is no other plant on the planet that has a distinct male and female plant, only the cannabis plant. And because of the discovery of endocannabinoids, it has given rise to at least Bob Melamed's belief that it is the key, these little elements are the key to facilitating our evolution. And I thought, man, imagine that. What if cannabis was put here deliberately long ago in order to facilitate the evolution of the local wildlife?
Yeah, and that's exactly, you're pretty much exactly right on that. Armistice actually said that in one cell of our body is the DNA of everything on the earth. That's everything, every plant, every animal. And we are here to enjoy and partake in every aspect of the plant and animal life. Not necessarily to eat or to, but what I got from that was there are drugs out there, plants out there that you take when you're sick. And, you know, and this is why the marijuana, especially in the ancient cultures, was used in ritualistic healings right throughout, and that's suppressed. And it's been known to bring people back from near death, you know. So, but as Armistice said, you know, like, and I actually didn't like him too much at first because he encroached on my life. But over the last 6 years or so, I've come to like a lot of his teachings. And one of them is you always are where you are meant to be. You are meant to be there at that moment. There is no past, there is no future, there is only now. And the other one was what's happened before will happen again. What is going to happen has already happened. It all happens all at once. All this thing with human time is an illusion, like a movie, right? We live our lives in an instant. It just feels
like the Truman Show.
Yeah, basically, like the Truman Show. Yeah, and we are being watched. We, you know, the Russians done a experiment. I forget what year it was. DNA has its own frequency, right? Human DNA. And they sent it out.
That's biometrics, isn't it?
And
that's interesting now because with the police state and everything, everybody's going to start to have to be submitted to biometric scans. And you can put that. It basically gives a pulse every time. I'm not sure if it's every time your heartbeat or something, but at some resonant frequency, you can actually tap into it and monitor it. So you can you can track your movements from space. If you're attached to that frequency, it's kind of like a radio frequency, and everybody's got their own particular one. And if you tune into it, you've got access to everything that's broadcasting on that frequency, including everything in your body and your mind.
Right, and that's what they're doing. That's why the bioresonance scans, once I said before, they've got a little toys up their sleeve, but the one thing that can't happen is the people who won't raise their vibrations, like the politicians, the people who want to hurt, the people who want to stay in where we are and stay on the destructive timeline, they will stay. They can't go across, but the elite want to go across too, but they can't because they are controlled by a lower vibrational entity, the ET Greys and the Hyper Reptilians. And they're trying to find a way to break through to where we're going. The Celestine Prophecies is pretty much accurate. There's a movie, the movie called The Celestine Prophecy. You get a chance.
Could you give us a brief synopsis?
Right, a brief synopsis is we raise to the vibrational level that we see energy coming off of plants, rocks, animals, everything around you. It interacts with you, and you can see your energy and your love energy coming out and interacting with that. So you can actually see and feel the interaction. And when you can see and feel the interaction of another, which is something humans lack at the moment, we had it once before, we lost it, right? You're not going to want to hurt that person. Because you're going to feel what they're feeling. It's going to be like a empath with superhuman empathic powers. We're all going to be like that.
Whoa. Except the psychopaths, because they have the they do not have that ability.
They won't
that
rise.
Means well, they won't rise, but what if we still stay in the 3D dimension with these psychopaths as well, except we're granted these extra abilities so we can see the auras and what have, which I think is what similar experience to what you're talking about with the energy fields and being able to sense them and see them, what some people call auras. So what I'm thinking is, what if we're stuck here with the psychopaths? We can see all the auras and stuff, but they can't. Would we become the dominant species then, because we'd be able to sniff them out instantly? Because the only reason why the New World Order is currently alive is because we're not aware of them.
You've got it. You're spot on. They won't be able to see it, but we will. And we will just basically stay away from them or try and help them. To get to this level that Armas is talking about, you have to be at least 51% pure.
Service to others.
All right, kind of like the US voting system. You know what I want to do? I want to get Dyncore to make me to flip the results so that I'm 51% pure, so I can ascend too. All right, we'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Week's post
coming. You've got an alternate career coming.
Well, incidentally, and I wanted to do it on the broadcast today, but I think talking to you guys is way more fun. I was up till four, when I last looked at the clock, it was 10 past 6 a.m. So I was up to that's what time I got to bed last night. this morning, yeah. So I had like maybe 3 hours sleep and then got up, had coffee, and here I am with you. And I was up with my friend Mikhail doing a new song, and it just kind of really took us. And as you talk about kind of losing time and what have you, and how, what's his name, Einstein said allegedly time is relative or whatever, last time we looked at the clock, it was like midnight-ish, right? And then we're just sitting there after doing a bit of singing or whatever, looked at the clock, and it was 5 to 4, and we both went, "What?" Because it's a Tuesday morning, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not 18 anymore. What's going on here?
Once you get in the zone, time just disappears in the zone. It's an amazing place.
And it's usually when you've got two people who are creative, or maybe even a few people. It's when you have creative energies. It's almost like you don't need those physical needs anymore. It's like you almost don't need water or food or caffeine anymore. It's like it all melts away, and you get charged by this stream of energy that's coming down. You don't know where it's coming from. You can't control it, but still, it just comes out.
Yeah, it creates a torus with its own energy, and once a torus starts, it creates its own energy, and your energy flows all joined together, and you get in the zone, and all of a sudden, you got something great.
Yeah. And I presume you two have had that kind of zone meeting of minds experiences before, where you've been up till like 4 a.m. chatting away, huh?
Well, not that late, but, you know, it's not for too long. Yeah, you know, you ring up, say hello for 5 minutes and 2 hours have gone by. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. And some of the things that come out are, you know, way too controversial for even most shows.
That actually brings me to my final question of the evening. It's about self-censorship. You know how when you're on radio shows or TV or anything like that, you're aware that there's an audience listening and you're aware that you're being interviewed by a host or something like that, and they've all got their own little sensibilities and you kind of tend to self-censor yourself a little bit just to make sure that the audience comprehends you and doesn't think crazy, and to make sure that the host doesn't judge you too much and maybe will continue to invite you back for more interviews if you're lucky. On this show, on the other hand, I don't follow that, and I don't buy it either. So if there is anything you've ever restricted yourself from saying for the fear that the audience might not comprehend you, I can assure you, the audience that listens to this show, real smart cookies. And I can also assure you, this is the host that, who won't judge you.
Well, you know, through my context and through my own teachings and mostly self-taught. I really like Jordan Maxwell. I like his work. But I believe we're an engineered race. This planet's engineered. It's been sanctioned by the universal vibration. It's been saved more than once by the universal vibration. Just not long ago, an Earth-sized object went past the sun and straight through the middle of the solar system. It should have turned the solar system into like billiard balls popping around the billiard table, but nothing happened. So that tells me that that was either divine intervention or that was what they call a biosphere, one of the ships here to see the great event. Because if it's got its own inertial dampening and its own anti-grav, it doesn't matter how big it is, it could be the size of Jupiter. All right, like this race called the Carillions, who have ships as big as Jupiter, you know, with 30 million people on, 30 million off-world people on them. And they're human, just higher evolved than us. And that's the only feasible two answers. It either has to be a controlled ship or divine intervention. And Nassim Haramein's got it on his YouTube. There is no doubt about it that it should have scrambled us like eggs. There are a lot. History will be rewritten very shortly. The human race is at least 25 million years old. The Sphinx is 5 million 270, I think, if I get that correctly, it's over 5,200,000 years old.
And it's also one block.
It's one block, yeah. And they know it. And we are a speck. Like what happens is human civilizations rise and fall, right? But we're only going back 2,500 years. We've been here 25 million years. We were here with the dinosaurs. We were here around about their time. And we have been far greater than we are now, but we've fallen. We are the fallen ones, all right? And we've given ourselves, we asked the center of the universe for help when we fell, all right? And they've given us 13,000 years to evolve 2,500,000 years. So they've sent down special people called the Nakals, right, to help us. This is part of Drumbelo Melchizedek, all right, to help us get there, and it looks like we've done it. Now it's just a waiting game for the revelation, the unveiling. This is going back to Jordan Maxwell, going back to the unveiling. The unveiling doesn't have to be a horrible thing. It's a knowing. That's all it is. It's just the lifting of the veil. And it's going to be like walking through the kitchen to the lantern for most people. And all of a sudden they'll see beautiful, vibrant colours. They'll find that they can talk to the bird that lands on their shoulder. They'll feel like a copy and it turns up in front of them. these are just some of the things, but it won't happen all at once. Like, the biggest happening will be you'll see a change in things and you'll know it's different, and then your learning begins. It's like a child learning to read. That's, we're going to have to go through that again.
Or like a truth of learning 9/11 was an inside job.
That's right. Yes, 9/11 was an inside job, yes.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just thinking about the whole Sphinx reference and how it's one block. You know, if the ancients didn't have technology, okay, dig this, even in the modern day, everybody just cruise down to Egypt, okay? Lash some ropes around the Sphinx and see how far you can drag it. You know? You ain't going to move it. It's impossible.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. Well, with the current logic of, oh, they were just you know, lowly, isn't it? And they just had plenty of slaves, you know.
Yeah,
that's all you need in order to accomplish the impossible is just more slaves. I mean, after all, the New World Order seems to have accomplished the impossible, and they've got copious quantities of slaves, don't they? All right, now. We also wanted to get Terry's take as well before we go. We only have a few minutes. If there's anything you'd like to say that, again, you wouldn't ordinarily say.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the take about being in the place where you should be, you know, there's been a number of times in my life where I remember back in 89, I had a couple of customers down in San Francisco, and you'd look at the bridge that had fallen down on each other, and at different times I've been up Ruapehu skiing when it blew up, and you think, well, this is a good day to die, you know. I mean, the point is, wherever you are, you're meant to be, and it's about realizing that your intent and how you feel about your fellow man and your relationship to them is the most important, and it doesn't really matter what happens around you. If you have the right intent and the right focus, then that's what life and evolvement's all about. So in terms of time, I had I remember reading a book called Hypnosis and the Higher Self when I was first involved in hypnotherapy. And so my experiences started with my daughter watching hypnotist on TV at eight, and saying, "Hey, Dad, will you hypnotize me?" As I was reading her story to go to bed, and before I knew it, she was going back to a lifetime when she was 6 years old and had a brother, no brothers in this life, talking about the experience and all that sort of thing. And it was all about a very limited lifespan that she had. She actually died when she was in her eighth year, but she didn't have any education and lived very poorly. In this life, she's a teacher. So you can see how each experience leads you to the next level of awareness. So there should be no fear about this whole process. What's unique that's happening now is that it's not just that we're carrying on our own reincarnational progression and learning. Suddenly, mankind itself is reaching a crisis point where, through necessity, we need to evolve. We've polluted the planet and we've populated the planet to the point where, at a 3D level, it's no longer sustainable. You know, the Chinese, if they want to have the same standard of living as Americans do, then we're going to need three planets to supply all the resources. So we do need to change. And you know, and of course the hierarchical controllers think, well, the only way to do that is to reduce the population. So, but that's not how it's going to happen, is it? So,
well, I guess we'll see. Because as far as I know, you can change the future by doing something right now, but you'll never see the future because you can only experience right now. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. John, Terry, thank you guys, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.